last week about how the Galatians had accepted Jesus Christ and believed by faith that they were saved, but they went back and they reverted back to the slavery of the law. We didn't read it this week, but Galatians 1 actually starts out. It's the only verse in the Bible that you can read it and call somebody stupid. And it says, "You stupid Galatians." That's how chapter 3 starts. Because Paul is just getting so worked up as he's writing this letter. And he gets to the end of chapter 2, and he's like, "Oh, you stupid Galatians." And he's writing that in, yeah, it's in the Bible. The book of Galatians, if any book of the Bible was going to, yeah, he's like, "I got to look this up." Now, your translation might say, "You foolish Galatians." But if there's any book of the Bible that's going to have somebody just throw a fit and cuss and yell, it's going to be Galatians. And that's as close as Paul gets. "You foolish Galatians." Does it say foolish? Yeah, it's a little more proper, right? I think it's the NIV says stupid. I don't know what the message is. I probably can't say it in church. But the message translation. Today we're going to talk about this little section between 3 and 4. And this is something I say, and sometimes people get upset at me about this. The numbers in your Bible, in your chapters and in your verses, they were added in the 1200s by a printer. A guy that was doing the copying, he wanted to keep track of where he was, and he said, "You know, we talk about the Bible a lot, and it's hard to keep track of where we are. So let's number the sentences. Let's number the paragraphs. Let's number the chapters." And so they stuck them in there. And what's really funny, you know, God bless those guys. They were trying hard. But sometimes he kind of throws us off. And that's why the reading today was the end of Galatians 3 and the beginning of Galatians 4. Because it's all one chunk. And it shouldn't have a big, fat, big number 4 in the middle there. It all flows. So whenever you're reading the Bible, it's really good. Just you're reading something and it doesn't make sense. You think that is a little confusing. Look at it again without those numbers. Because sometimes they'll break things up and they'll have something all by itself. Like when Jesus is talking about greed and envy, and then all of a sudden he talks about the eye, and if the eye is dirty, then the whole body's dirty. And then he goes back to talking about greed again, and you're like, "What in the world?" But you pull the numbers out, and you realize that a dark eye is like a slang word for being green with envy. And it has everything to do with greed. Your dark eyes, your greedy eyes. Because the numbers weren't there. So, anyway. Paul is talking about when we were kids, we were just like slaves. What in the world does that mean? Anybody ever get a new job and you don't know anybody that you work with? And you go into the new job and you immediately... This is the only time you ever do this. You look at the employee manual, right? Once you start your job, you glance through the employee manual to find out what... You might look at it again to figure out if you get off Good Friday or Christmas Eve, but otherwise you're never looking in that employee manual again. And you kind of watch everybody. And you look, oh, everybody takes their lunch at 11. I better take my lunch at 11. Oh, everybody leaves at 4:55. Huh, that's interesting. Oh, everybody gets here at 7:55. And you start watching other people. And you start doing things according to the rules that everybody else does them. Right? Or you might ask your boss, "What's my job description?" And the boss hands you a piece of paper. Bam, 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 bam. "Here's your job description. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this." And when you start, you just do that. You follow the letter of the law. You keep your head down. You don't show up too early. You don't leave too early. You don't stay too late. You don't turn your music up in your cubicle too loud. You just obey the law. Well, when we were kids, we were just like slaves. What in the world does that mean? When a household in the Old Testament world, you'd have servants in the house. And if there was a kid in the house, even though that kid is going to inherit the entire house, the slaves know more about the house than the kid. So the kid has to follow the rules just like the slaves have to follow the rules. No special privileges, right? But when that kid matures and his dad, the old geezer, dies and the kid inherits the property, the kid makes his own rules, right? Some of you might have worked in a business that was like that. And that's really a difficult situation to be in sometimes. So as long as the kid is a kid and immature, he has to follow the same rules as all the servants. In the Old Testament, Moses gave the law. We talked about this last week, the Ten Commandments. In the Old Testament, people expressed their faith in God by following the law. And God gave them a law to follow. He's like, you want to express your love to me? Okay, here's the deal. Don't eat lobster. And on your day off, don't try to get a second job to earn money. Rest and let me provide for you. I just summed up the whole, 613 laws. Just totally butchered it. But they had the law. And they had faith in God, that God was who He said He was. And they expressed that by obeying the law. Well, that is really difficult. It's really difficult to just follow rules, right? Because at some point you forget why you're following the rules and you just follow the rules to get it done. You just go through the motions. You just starch your shirt because you figure if the shirt's starched, the heart's clean on the inside. And you don't worry about the inside anymore. This is what happened in Jesus' day. Well, also in Jesus' day, there were Pharisees, and they were teachers of the law. And they had a teaching that the law was like a chain. And all the people sitting in their congregations would be like, yeah, it's like a chain, good grief. And they'd say, the law is like a chain, and it's going to lift you out of hell into heaven. What happens if you break one law? Doesn't matter which one. You're not going to make it. That's what they taught. And they had 613 laws. You can't eat gnats. Don't wear wool and cotton on the same day. You got to wash your hands before you eat every meal. These are things that Jesus deliberately broke sometimes just to challenge their hearts. There were certain knots you were allowed to tie, and there were certain knots you weren't allowed to tie. These shoes, I have broken the Sabbath when I tied my shoes this morning because I constructed a knot, and that's construction, and that's making things, and that's work. That is what the Pharisees taught. So according to the Pharisees, I have broken one of the links in my chain, and I'm lost. So while we were under law, we were just like a slave. We were a slave to sin. That's the power the devil has, of judgment and death. But then, Galatians 4:1, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Jesus was under the same law that Moses, all of Israel, was under. And He didn't break a single link. Now, He healed on the Sabbath. It wasn't a Levitical law from Moses to not heal on the Sabbath. The Pharisees made up a bunch of extra laws and heaped them on top of people. At one point, Jesus said, you guys are like heaping bundles of sticks on people and not making any effort to help them carry them. You're just making up laws and burying people. So Jesus would deliberately break all those heaped up laws. But the Mosaic law He kept. And he kept it perfectly. One time, I'm going to totally mess up the camera stuff for this, just because I got to tell this story. One time I was at a rock concert. Do I have time to totally diverge? Okay. I was at a rock concert, and the bands are playing, and there are these giant security guards. Huge, you know, security guards, right? And they're standing like this. And my buddy says, let's go backstage and see the bands. We have the cheapest tickets you can get, okay? Like geese are hitting us in the head as they migrate. I'm like, how are we going to do it? He's like, come on, I'll show you. So we go. The concert is going on. The bands are playing. He walks right up to the security line. The security guards look at him, and he says, he's with me, and walks. The security guards look at me to figure out who in the world I am, and he's already in. They look back at him, and he's like up in the middle of the row. And I'm, you know, I'm not slowing down. And we're backstage. I was convinced we were going to get arrested. I was like, dude, this is a Christian concert. What happens when the slave that has to follow the rules, when the servant that has to obey really can't? And it's really impossible. And the owner of the business knows it and comes to your desk and says, hey, you completely messed this thing up. And it cost us a whole lot of money. But I wrote a check to cover it, and it's cool. Just be yourself. Just create and make stuff. I didn't hire you to follow the laws. I hired you because you're you. And I want you to be awesome here. That's what God did. That's what God did. He said, you completely messed this thing up. You. Just you. If you were the only person to ever be born after Adam, you still needed to be saved. Jesus died for the sins of the world, but he died for yours specifically in the midst of that. And now that is how we can say, Galatians 1, chapter 4, verse 6, because you are sons. You are sons and daughters. He has adopted you. He says, you messed this up really bad. The only way I would ever allow this at my company is if you were one of my kids. So I've adopted you. And you're covered. And he doesn't even say, don't ever do it again. Did you catch that? He said, it's covered too. Because you still haven't learned. And so, you are no longer a slave. We are done with the chains. We are done with the law. We are done with the judgment. And we are children. And we say, Dad. Dad. And he says, my kid. And embraces us. Thank you, Lord. Father, may we fully embrace this. May we truly call you Father, Dad, Pop, Paul, whatever. May we truly accept our adoption as your children that you purchased for us. So, as you go out this week, do not live justified by your activities, which is just a jail cell behind bars, security without freedom. Instead, walk in the adoption as sons and daughters of the Most High God, by which His Holy Spirit in you helps you cry out, Father, Dad. God bless you.